Across the country, hospitals are working on plans to cope with a biological or chemical attack. The UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles is at the forefront of such efforts. It has a comprehensive plan to care for people who've been burned by chemicals or exposed to dangerous microbes. And as NPR's Patricia Naiman reports, UCLA is taking a decidedly low-tech approach.
UCLA is a level one trauma center and one of the nation's premier healthcare facilities. Francis Riddlehoover is the hospital's chief operating officer. Today, stepping outside the hospital doors, she describes one of the locations the hospital will use in the event of an attack.
We are standing outside the hospital looking at a grassy area that 12 years ago was a children's play yard for our outpatient pediatric clinic.
The play yard was moved years ago. The area turned into a courtyard for outdoor receptions until now. Riddlehoover says the space will be transformed into a decontamination unit for victims of a chemical or biological attack. The area is just outside the main hospital. It's about the size of a tennis court.
It's our intent to take what used to be large concrete sandboxes and put some plumbing and drainage into them and use this as an area where we can do decontamination for small numbers of patients if we need to while we're waiting for a larger hazmat response from the campus or from the county.
Riddlehoover says UCLA could handle about 15 to 20 patients right away. If more patients needed care, a second site just up the hill would also be used. Both sites are near the emergency room if patients need medical care, which would be likely in the case of a chemical attack. In the case of a biological attack of a contagious agent like, say, smallpox or plague, patients would simply be washed with soap and water, then given clean clothes. On its own, UCLA's Dr. Peter Katona says there's only so much the hospital can realistically do.
The problem really is in numbers. If you get 10 cases of some bioterrorist agent, be it anthrax or smallpox or tularemia or whatever, you can handle that. And if you get 1,000 cases, you're not going to handle it no matter what you do. And really the key should be to gear into the mid-range to 100 cases. And what do you do to gear up your preparations for that?
The answers to such questions are hashed out at UCLA's weekly bioterrorism task force meeting. Small groups began to meet immediately after September 11th, but the official group of about 25 people has been meeting here in this small conference room in the main hospital since the end of October.
Kelly was kind enough to prepare copies of last week's minute.
Infectious disease specialist Dr. David Pagese chairs the meeting. Today's agenda includes an update on emergency supplies.
Have we made a decision about how we're going to bundle or store the supplies, such as the additional AMBU bags, inline filters, endotracheal tubes for rapid deployment if necessary.
These are the tools needed to help people breathe who can no longer breathe on their own. Pagese says it doesn't make sense for the hospital to purchase hundreds of costly mechanical ventilators. Instead, it plans to rely on family members to manually squeeze a bag that pumps air into the patient's lungs and keeps them alive. This is another example of UCLA's low-tech approach. In fact, one of the hospital's key strategies at this point is to keep patients who don't need to be there out of the hospital. Dr. Farhad Melamed says the task force developed handouts to teach patients when and when not to seek hospital care.
It's the facts about anthrax, smallpox, plague, and botulism in basic plain English. What things to look for, what things distinguish it from the flu or the cold or eczema or certain rashes.
The task force also developed guidelines to help UCLA's primary care doctors, especially those who work in one of the 20 clinics outside the hospital, recognize symptoms of biological warfare. If doctors can quickly spot patients who have been exposed to a toxic or contagious agent, they can save lives. And they can also save the hospital time, money, and potentially huge problems. Dr. Peter Katona says that's especially true in the case of people infected with smallpox.
You want to get to these people very quickly, quarantine them, do not let them go anywhere near the hospital if you can, put them in emergency facilities someplace. The Army can build mobile hospitals, but you want to keep them away from the hospital itself, because if they contaminate the emergency room, they contaminate the hallway going up to an isolation room, your hospital is potentially put out of commission.
But hospital official Francis Riddlehoover says if patients infected with smallpox do show up at the hospital, there's got to be a plan. The hospital plans to transform its Eye Institute, which is housed in a building separate from the hospital, into a place where patients could be isolated and cared for.
All we'd really have to do here is make sure we had competent staff, we had all the supplies that we need, and we could separate the air, which our facilities folks are working now on how they would shut off the air to this building and so that it's not recirculated with the rest of the hospital air.
UCLA is one of many hospitals working to be better prepared for bioterrorism. The organization that evaluates and accredits hospitals has set rigid new standards to ensure hospitals can respond. And it will require hospitals to conduct 2 disaster drills a year to test their readiness. Patricia Naiman, NPR News, Los Angeles.